Well, a good evening to everyone. Hope you had a good afternoon. Went well. Good enough to be back here, right? This evening, or this afternoon, I guess is more like it, we're going to be discussing or looking at what I do Monday through Friday. And I'm a teacher at Southwest School of Bible Studies. And so San Angelo has had a part and continues to have a part in several different ways with the school. You have several graduates from the school that are here. Now, as we get started, though, please allow me to say, there's nothing in the Bible that says a person has to go to a Bible school in order to be a gospel preacher, first and foremost. Does it help them? No doubt. Does it help in preparation? And for example, how do you put a sermon together? Where do you even start to put a sermon together? Where do you begin in the Bible? How do you properly break down the Bible? And so it facilitates in helping someone get along in those areas. I'm talking and trying to do computer work, and it does not work that way for me. So let me just pull this up here, and then we'll be ready to go. All righty. We got a master technician back there, so I feel confident here. Southwest School of Bible Studies began really in the minds of elders in 1977, and they had the first graduating class in 1978. Which way, where do I point this to make it work? Up?
Up.
Back. Oh yeah, you told me to do that, didn't you? All right, here we go. Now, so like I say, technology and I, we get along a little bit, but I'm still learning some of it too. And if you've been there, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you have any questions or comments as we go through it, then by all means, feel free to ask as we get through. So, while I'm doing this, tomorrow night, our lesson is going to be Simplicity in Position. And what that's going to do is focus on the home, something desperately, desperately needed all over our land and the world today, because it's just getting further and further away from the Bible, and it's costing us more and more. And we've got to get back to the Bible on the home if we're going to save our country, if we're going to save our churches, if we're going to save the world. Everything starts there in the home. So tomorrow will be Simplicity in Position. So the school is located in Austin, Texas, and some of y'all were talking about having gone to the lectureships in the past and past preachers. And has anyone never heard of Southwest School of Bible Studies? All right? One. Man, that's in great, great, great shape there. He will know all about it by the time the night is over. San Angelo also does a lot of good in helping Christians in general. And so I'm so thankful the elders have given me this opportunity from an individual and personal basis to say thank you. Brother Mike mentioned that we have four sons, and all four are in college. Yes, it's a lot of fun. We do a lot of juggling and balancing and whatnot, but I know for our two oldest sons, San Angelo, or the funds and what y'all have in this area and what you've set up to help members of the church, we have been personally blessed by that, and so for that we are thankful. As far as the school, you're also involved in the school, as I mentioned. So as we work through this, it is a two-year program. It is an intense program. When the students first come there, I tell them, welcome to Marine Spiritual Boot Camp. This will be the hardest 2 years of your life. Someone told me one time, don't be so aggressive that way. And I was like, I want them to know what they're getting into. I don't want any surprises here on what they are about to face. It's two of the most challenging, but it is also two of the most rewarding. So here's what we do at Southwest: to know Jesus and to make Him known. And we really have three goals in mind. Not complicated. The first one is, I get apprehensive, like, is it showing up there? It's to know God's Word. Brethren, what good is it to have teachers and preachers that do not know the Bible? Now, I'm not saying they come out in 2 years and have it memorized from Genesis to Revelation off the top of their head, but we have too much today, and I'm probably going into preaching a little bit, Brother Mike, where there are people that they're all around the Bible. Not necessarily what they're saying is wrong, but it's not in the Bible teaching and preaching. And the last time I checked, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation. And so if you're going to change people's lives, they have got to get in the Scripture. I can talk about Scripture all day long. Anybody can. But until people can put their eyes on it and read it for themselves and realize this is God's message to you. And that's what we need in preachers and teachers. Using the Bible, teaching the Bible, in the Bible. And so we heavy, heavy influence on that. The second one is gospel preaching and teaching. They can't do the second until they have the first down. And so we have classes that are designed for gospel preaching and teaching. Now, some people come to the school to increase their Bible knowledge. Some of them come because they plan on serving as an elder one day in the church and they want greater Bible knowledge. Some come because they want to be a better Bible teacher. I'm just saying you have all sorts of reasons, good reasons, why people come to the school. Our third one then is this, equip in living the gospel. What do I mean by that? Our goal is that every person be equipped in the proclamation and living. Because if the proclamation doesn't line up with the living, what do you have? What does the Bible call it? A hypocrite, a play actor, a pretender. Now, I don't mean we're perfect, but we try to bring those two together. So how do we accomplish this then? I know that was the next question on your mind, right? So here's how we accomplish it in three different ways. One is interpretation. Imagine taking the Bible, someone who has never read it, and be able to understand what it is that is being said. How would you do that? Maybe some of you all have done that in your own life. You know, I need to start studying the Bible. So you take it, you just plopped it down on the table, and you open to the genealogies and Chronicles. Now, someone who's never been a Bible student or a lover of God, how long do you think they're going to last? It's hard enough for Christians, much less. And so what is a preacher and teacher going to do? Well, that's where the school helps out. We have two hermeneutic classes that deal with the interpretation of Scripture, the reading of Scripture, the understanding. Brethren, our Bible is written in a systematic way. It's not just randomly all over, piece by piece, and we teach the students how that. Sometimes the writers write chronologically, from beginning to end. Sometimes they write topically or on subject. Sometimes they go back to the chronological order. And so we work through all of those things. The preaching classes we have, they teach the students how to preach. And you have different types of preaching. What I mean by that, topical, textual, expository. And we teach all three with a heavy influence, hopefully, on expository. It's the toughest one to do in terms of work and preparation, but it's very effective as far as listeners are concerned. And we do the proclamation. I guess I need to mash this as I talk. Chew gum and walk, Gibson. Chew gum and walk. It's real simple here. It's the proclamation of the gospel. Apologetics. This is a big one now. There are people that are being taught to be atheists or skeptics. And a lot of people are denying the existence of God. This is going to continue to be a bigger and bigger problem. If you don't believe me, then you need to go talk to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and ask them what they are learning in the university. And if they are paying attention, they know exactly what is going on. We need to be able to defend the gospel. We need to be able to give that evidence, that philosophy, to defend the Bible. Then we have congregational development. You know, you can have a sound preacher and a sound congregation, and they not gel. Do you know what I mean by that? Not necessarily right or wrong, but finding that knack, if you will, working in that. And so the students are required to interact with the family there at Southwest, their family as well. Everyone's required to place membership there. And so they interact, and they are given assignments. We have also taken now, and the congregation is challenged. We don't have as much say-so. We can't give them a bad grade, per se, or something, or hold it over their heads. But we challenge the congregation now to interact with the students. That's extremely important in the work of the church, laboring together. And a congregation, it's not the congregation and the preacher. You know, he's kind of over here by himself. We are all family laboring and working together. And so we work on that in the school. We also have various classes to help, such as English. Everyone's favorite. Right, Olivia? Everyone's favorite. So you have a grammar class and you have a rhetoric class, persuasiveness class. And those are being taught at the school. So you have every book of the Bible that is covered verse by verse to the best of our ability. Some of those get challenging, as I mentioned, the genealogies and Chronicles. I don't know that you're going to go verse by verse, but they're broken down where you can learn some things from there. You also have the preaching classes, the congregational development classes, the hermeneutics classes, the apologetic. There's a lot going on there at the school in terms of teaching. 40 years, over 200 graduates from the school. Brethren, I'll be honest with you, not all of them stay faithful. Not all of them stay faithful. And it's sad and it's tragic, but it's just like losing anyone anywhere in the family of God. And so they are now lost and work must be done in that area. People graduate from the school and they go and they serve in many different capacities. I want to assure you at Southwest that our elders oversee this work. And it is a very big work. A lot is going on. And you'll see why I'm mentioning this, because we have a director at the school. I've been asked this. If you have elders that oversee the work, then why? What does a director do? Well, you can imagine the day-to-day operations of a school. Anyone in here involved with teaching or administration in teaching, you know exactly what it's like. You have a teaching side and you have an administration side. All right, we don't have the resources of the government to just hire everybody under the sun, and even they are in a shortage, from what I understand. And so you have a lot of picking up. Well, the director handles, you know, disciplinary things, whatever may be going on in the school, the schedule, but that's always in discussion with the elders. The elders know everything that is going on at all times, regardless. Now, Brother Steve, Brother Ryan, does this have one of those laser things? Well, I ain't going to push stuff. There's no telling what to... Oh, right here. Aha. Found it. So, Brother Steve, I call him our gentle giant. He's very laid back, reserved. Sometimes I'm like, come on, give it to him, Brother Steve. You know, a little bit. Extremely knowledgeable in the Bible. And he can take a student to his office. I'm not saying good or bad, but that student can come out in tears. And you never even heard a word in the office. I mean, he just has a different way that's not bad in working with the students. And he's currently our director for the school. Anyone know this guy? Brother Clay Bond? I think the students have given him the name, the Hammer. You take that and do whatever you want with it. But he is our assistant director who aids Brother Steve in the running and in the functioning of the school. He challenges the students. He comes with great ability, and he's very good with what he does. And I will claim it, but don't tell him I said so. He is a dear friend of mine and does a very good work there. Sister Val, you notice the last name is the same as Brother Steve Lloyd. They are husband and wife. She is our secretary. She is our registrar. She keeps up with the support and the checks and the students and letters and all that is involved in much of the administrative side of things. Who do we got next up there? The most wanted at the post office. Now, these are a lot of the teachers, or the teachers at the school. I don't have all of them up there, but you say, well, that's a lot of people up there. Let me explain something to you. So Brother Clay, he's an assistant director there. And then you have Brother Andy Baker. Brother Andy is not a full-time instructor at the school. What he does is he comes in 1 week a year. Every other year, does anyone know what Brother Andy is very good at?
Singing.
And he spends the entire week from 8 to 5 or 8 to 4 teaching the students anything and everything you ever wanted to know about singing. And you think, well, that's the music notes. Me, if it goes up, I go up. If it goes down, I go down. That's about as good as I get there. But there's other things that you might not think of. For example, let's say a song leader stands up and says, turn to page 200. And maybe there's some, you know, someone was talking or whispering, or a baby happened to fuss or laugh at that time, and you didn't get it. And so we teach the students, like, you need to say the song three times in three different ways. Turn to page 200. Turn to page 200. We're going to be singing Stand Up for Jesus. Now, I don't know if that's what it's in your songbook here, but that's three different ways so that people, we all hear differently, or something may be going on. That's something little, but how important is that into the order of a worship service? And so it helps out. Here's another thing. I learned this at Riverside. We had a dear, beloved sister there who was going blind and was completely blind after we left there, what, 17 years. And she didn't know the page numbers. But you tell her the name of that song, and she was ready to go when that song leader started. So there's a lot of things that we may not think of that are being incorporated and taught in the school by the teachers to help things out as we work and as we grow. Oh, there's, I wanted to go back here. So Brother Andy does that, and then Rob Whitaker does the same thing. He comes in 1 week every other year focusing on evangelism. That guy, well, troubler, he's full-time, and he's there Monday through Friday, morning, noon, and night. Brother Carl McCann preaches in Fruitvale, Texas, and he comes in 1 day a week and teaches all day. He's what we call an adjunct teacher. He's preaching full time, but he comes in 1 day a week and teaches. Brother Ronnie does the same thing. Brother Cody, he's the preacher at Southwest, but he also teaches a class in the school. In addition to this, we have now Mel Hutzler, who's a preacher in San Antonio at Northern Oaks. Brother Tom Moore, who is in Hamilton. Brother Jeff Sweeten, who is in Buda, Kyle. We're adding to and growing the instructors, one, so the full-time can wrestle the administration side of things and keep up with that. I believe it's also good for the school, because anywhere those guys go, they become a marketing tool for the school. Now, it's not a business, but you see the significance and the importance of things like that, and it helps the students out as well. All right, let's move on then. Here's Brother Andy in that what I was telling you about. He's teaching music for the week, and this is very much an example of what it might look like. This is Brother Carl McCann. He's teaching adjunct, as I mentioned, in a school setting what would be happening. Brethren, every morning I want you to know that we start the day off with chapel, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everyone's going to be there, everyone's going to be engaged, and everyone's going to be a part. And what we call chapel is we have singing, we have prayer, and we have Bible preaching. Now the students, they do the singing and the prayer, and then the teachers will help also with the devotional. So we take turns each day during the week, and everyone knows what's coming and what's happening. Here is an example. This was an English class, and they are actually taking a test right now. We tried to mix it up a little bit. What they're having to do is to cite or give a proper works cited of some reference that has been handed to them. Does anyone know what I'm talking about there? So when you write a research paper and you're going to mention someone else, you need to give them proper credit. Well, there's a proper way of going about that. So these students have been handed a Bible, a lectureship book, a periodical, various things that they would use, and they have to properly cite that up there and I think they all passed that class. I'm not sure, but no, I'm just kidding. They did and got through it. Our classes have changed a little bit, but they go Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. What I mean by change about it, you notice the adjunct teachers, where a guy is driving 3 or 4 hours one way to teach at the school. Well, you can't be asking someone to do that 2 or 3 times a week. That's just not feasible. And so adjunct that drive a long ways, anywhere from 1 hour to 4 hours, we do what we call block classes. They will teach for an entire morning, one class, one day a week. But the students, this is what they're doing. Now, if you are familiar, remember I said Marine Spiritual Boot Camp? If you're familiar with the college system, they usually go on semesters, right? What is considered full-time college student in our universities? 12 hours. You can take 15. You start getting above that. A lot of times you have to get permission. All right? And that's for 3 months. The students at Southwest School of Bible Studies are taking 27 semester hours every 10 weeks. That's why they're not allowed to work. That's why they have to go and get support. You can't. You cannot go outside and work. I'm not saying, ooh, all that makes us special. I'm saying, look at the intensity of and the pressures that they are under. And so there is a lot that is going on there. Here is a combined class, and this is what we call a special studies seminar. So another thing the school does, brethren, is anyone ever had to deal with preacher's taxes? You preachers in here, you planning for retirement? Because the company ain't offering it, I promise you, in most places. And so what we do is we bring in people. For example, our brother Gary Goodpasture, a business, a finance guy. Every once a quarter, we will bring somebody in who specializes in those areas, and they will spend the entire day teaching the students. So Brother Gary comes in and teaches about finances and what to be mindful of and new tax laws for preachers and whatnot. And so every quarter, we're bringing in someone different. So they, again, we're trying to get everything as much as we can, a foundation laid for them. I call this the wall of graduates. If you've ever been to Southwest, the school is upstairs. And when you come upstairs, one of the first things you see is this wall. Now, I know it's not the greatest picture. I don't proclaim to be a photographer or anything like that. But if I was to try and get the whole thing in, it would involve me going over the balcony and taking a picture as I went to get it all in there. But I say that because usually this is where everyone stops. And they start looking. And they look to see people they know. It's just a good conversation piece. And yes, we get a... Mine is usually, Brother Gibson, you have a lot more gray hair than when you went to school here. That is true. That does happen. So people enjoy seeing that as they go through. So let me pause here to say again, thank you. I'm hoping you're starting to see what this work is doing. And you have a part in that. All right? Not everyone can be director. Not everybody can be instructor. It takes all hands, all on deck, accomplishing it so that such a good work can be accomplished. But I assure you, brethren, that we are training these men to be gospel preachers. Now, I'll mention about the ladies here in just a minute, but we're teaching the students that wherever they may be, whatever they may be finding themselves doing, to do so to the glory of God. So in that process, we have things such as good old camp, all right? And here's one of the students with one of the adults that's come in. And again, it doesn't matter. We teach them to be workers, whether they are at camp, whether it's cleaning the kitchen, whether it's preaching the gospel. No one is too good or above or below to work together for the glory of God. And so they take on many different roles throughout their tenure at school and carry on and do different activities. This one is one of the favorites. I call this one road trip. So we go to lectureships, and we all pile in a van. Although right now the school currently has 21 students. That is a lot for Southwest School of Bible Studies. All right, and we're thankful for that. So now we have to have a van and then sometimes get something else to get somewhere. But some of the best memories are made on these road trips. You never truly learn about an instructor or a student till you've spent 8 hours together on the Texas highways traveling to a lectureship. But the students do enjoy that. They just got back from Fruitville, where Carl McKenna's at, and actually they did the lectureship. And that's always a good experience for them. Servants Academy. So this is something that the school started doing here a few years ago. And what this is like a camp. It's 1 week long in the summer for youngsters. I'd say teenagers. They have to fill out an application. It's not just for anybody. I mean, they have to show interest in following God, being lovers of His Word. And they come and they spend a week at the school. And they take classes just like the students do. And it gives them a taste. It gives them a flavor of what Bible school is like. And then in the afternoons, they usually go and do something, such as right here, they hiked, maybe that's Mount Bonnell, I'm not sure. But usually something is geared for them to do in the afternoons. Brethren, this has done so much good, not just to become a student, although that's what we encourage, but it shows these young people that church exists outside of their home congregation. There are some of our young people that are in congregations where they may be the only one. We have young Christians that are marrying non-Christians because they say there's no one in their congregation. And so they go and it ends up causing a lot of problems for a lot of people. Creates a big mess. What I'm getting at is these people are getting to say, hey, there's people besides me. There's others that are my age doing the same thing. And this has been very, very, very good for the school and for these people. I put this one in here because it shows young and old alike. We have one guy that's nearly 50 years old right now in the school. We also have young whippersnappers like Brother Caleb Nash, good guy there. But we have one of the young ladies, she just turned 20. I made the mistake, I said, so you're 21 now? I'm not that old yet, I am 20 years old. Sorry, 20 it is. You know. So we have young and old, we have married, sometimes husbands and wives are both attending as students. We have international students, we have families that come. It just runs the gamut, if you will, of who comes to the school. Anyone know these two? The Sherrills. Now these two ladies are mother and daughter. By the way, the other daughter is now attending there at Southwest School of Bible Studies. And I just learned the other day, she got her a boyfriend from one of the first year students. So that's not the intention of the school, but there's nothing wrong with that, is there? I mean, you have two Christians whose desires to serve God and so on. And that's old news around the school, but if I get in trouble, it won't be the first time. So some brethren get concerned about sisters attending the school. Brothers, this is probably the number one thing I've had to battle in going to different congregations. What do you mean there's girls in the school? Notice it's called Southwest School of Bible Studies. All right? And these two ladies here, married men, of which both are gospel preachers. If the young girl in school now goes and it continues to work out in that relationship, that young man is preparing himself to be a gospel preacher. Do you see how many generations are going? Think of the support and the encouragement they will be able to give their husbands and the work that they are able to accomplish having attended the school. You ladies just had a ladies' day yesterday, right? Okay. You ladies that are members here in San Angelo, next Saturday you're having another ladies' day and you're going to come up with four lessons. You ready to go? You have 6 days. I know how long Wendy spent getting ready for two lessons. All right. The ladies with the training that they get, they're ready to go. They can handle that. They can teach. And then again, as I mentioned, now, having said that, this does not make them better than other ladies. Please do not misunderstand me here. But what it does is it shows or highlights the good that Southwest is doing and accomplishing on different fronts. By the way, if a married couple do attend the school and the wife is not a student, there are Monday night classes wherein they are required to attend. And then the ladies that are in the school are the ones that deliver the devotionals and whatnot and the song leading. So it gives them the practice that they've been learning in the school. Anyone know them? Remember Caleb Nash, the young guy? I said young whippersnapper so you would remember. That's his sister there. She married a gospel preacher and they're now laboring in Johnson City. Lots of good, lots of things are happening because of this. Now, this is a picture. Every year the girls, the ladies look forward to this where they all combine. The ladies at Southwest, the female students, and they go to, I guess you would call, a weekend retreat. This single picture here is telling a story of many, many memories. They're able to strengthen one another, encourage one another, have that fellowship as they study God's Word together and become those friends. Brethren, that's going to carry them into eternity. All right? We need those relationships. There's a reason God wants us to come together to worship. There's a reason that He wants us to come together to do the work that He has called us to do. These ladies right here, so to answer your question, the ladies are held to the same workload as the guys. They have to make sermons. They have to learn how to make sermons. When it comes for delivering and preaching those lessons, here is the A-team. All right? These are elders' wives, deacons' wives, instructors' wives. They teach the ladies' classes on Monday nights. They sit, they listen to the ladies preach and deliver their lessons. They are the ones that are, what would you say, gauging, monitoring, helping the ladies through these things, critiquing. So we're very serious about keeping it the way the Bible wants us to. And so This is how it's handled. Graduate highlight. 6 continents have Southwest School of Bible Studies students, or the ones that attended the school, now there. How many continents are there? Don't doubt yourself. 7. And there's only 6. We got work to do. Well, last time I checked, penguins and polar bears don't need the gospel. We haven't quite made it that far yet. But that, to me, is impressive. That doesn't mean, ooh, all Southwest is special. I'm just saying, look where people who work together have caused an impact for the glory of God throughout the world. People in New Zealand, people in Liberia, people in Cambodia, people in Northern Ireland, people in England, all over the world, the gospel is being spread. That's because of you. All right? I want you to know that. Now, don't go pat yourself on the back this evening. Oh, I'm, you know, a superhero. But it takes everyone working together in order for this to be accomplished. This is not some entity by itself up there doing all this. It takes us all laboring together and working. Looking to the future, all right? What are Southwest goals? I believe it's important to have goals. The idea of having vision. Increase the student population. Well, we're up to 21 now. That's real good for us. Matter of fact, if we get too many more, we're going to have to figure out the desk situation in the school. But you know what? I'll take that problem. Bring it on. We'll figure it out. Increase support for the school. Increase support for the students. Now, when I went to school, I know about Brother Mike. When I went to school, a student had to find their own support 100%. Over time, it has changed a little to where brethren have sent money in for the students, and it's at the discretion of the elders and the director there at the school to help those students who need it the most. For example, you have an international student that comes in. Who are they going to ask in the church for support to go to school? They come from a third world country. They barely could get there themselves, and now they've got to come up with all this money to be able to attend school for 2 years. That's where some changes for the good have accomplished. And the student support is doing very well. Of course, you can always use student support. I'm not trying to take it away, but it's always good. Our biggest thing that we're working on right now is the Southwest congregation has always taken care of administrative cost. Does everyone know what that means? Lights, water, maintenance, repair, faculty, the big one, all right? We're in a position where that's just not doable anymore. We're doing fine right now, but we can't continue where we're at looking down the road. And so that's something else that we are working on at the school. Encouraging Christians to attend. Faculty is our immediate need. Sometimes we need numbers. Right now we're working to raise $9,000 a month, and we're at about $4,500 just to get where we need to be in terms of stability. Well, what do you mean, Gibson? I'm trying to be as clear. I have nothing to hide. Y'all ask me anything you want. So right now, Southwest is currently dipping into reserve funds that were there for that purpose. Well, you know what happens when you don't replace the reserve funds? You run out. So we're okay right now, but we see the light coming at the end of the tunnel and got to do something about it. Of course, students, memorial funds, increase the endowment fund. Don Walker. Of course, our brother Rick Brumbeck stepped down to go to Tennessee and work over there. And brother Don came in. He became ill and was in the hospital for approximately a year. And Southwest continued to work with him and do things. But it was a time of instability. Not a crime. When you have someone who's sick in the hospital, it makes it tough. All right. If you don't know, brother Don passed away. All right. That's when brother Steve stepped in. Brother Don loved to train students to be preachers. And so now a memorial fund has been set up in his honor to accomplish that. You also have the Carl Garner Lighthouse Award. He was a longtime teacher there at Southwest. He used to be a high school football coach. And he was real big into apologetics. What is apologetics? Evidences, right? And he was real big into writing. So a student that comes in and shows likes in those two areas and is good receives out of this scholarship fund for the good that he did. The Freisinger Scholarship. So you remember I mentioned a while ago one of the greatest challenges has been informing people, the ladies, There are some congregations, brethren, they say, we want to support, but we do not want to support ladies. They have that prerogative. That's not a crime, all right? That's not a bad thing. But there are ladies that do attend the school, and I've already given you the arguments of it. It's a good thing. Well, the Freisinger family saw this need. And so what they did is they set up a scholarship fund that is strictly just for the ladies that attend the school. That way they have and can draw from that fund, that memorial, and there's some people, I think, that match whatever's donated to help the ladies out in the school. We do what we can with what we have to carry it the furthest we can and the best of our ability. Brother Al Macias, long-time instructor there at the school, and he was also the Spanish preacher for the Spanish congregation there as well. He is still alive. He doesn't get around too much anymore, but he accomplished and did a lot for the people that are there. Brethren, you're in our prayers. I'm here. Obviously, we're having a meeting, but this afternoon is simply to say thank you. Individually for what you have done for my family, collectively what you have done for the school as a whole. It cannot be done without you. And so you remember a while ago I mentioned all those places where people are preaching the gospel? That's because of you. That's because of all of us working together. So, as we close in, this is what it's all about. All right? Y'all tell me if you recognize any of this up here, okay? Just so you know, I asked Brother Mike for 3 weeks to send me a picture. So he left me with whatever I could find. That's perfectly good one, isn't it? Nothing wrong with that. Anyone know those characters? All right. These are all people that have been through the school. And I didn't ask. I didn't do a quality check. But they've been here this morning. They were here this evening. I would say these are some good folks. And they've learned a lot. And this congregation is blessed by the things that they have gone through, and part of that is the school. I'm not done, though. This is what it's all about. You know this guy? I've learned something. One of my goals when I get to see Brother Mike, and it's not too often, is to see if I can get him to smile. You notice he just doesn't do that sometimes. I don't even know where that one came from, Brother Mike, but I bet he sends me a picture the next time. But there is one person I know that can always get him to smile. Do you know who that is? Always getting him to smile. Oh, in marriage, you know, we have ups and downs, but lovely, wonderful couple. They labor here. I consider them good friends. Sometimes he sets me straight, maybe the other way around sometimes too. But this is just a small part of what some of the school is doing and helping. And again, it's because of y'all that these things are accomplished. And Lord willing, this is the way I look at it. If God wants that school to continue, it's going to happen through His providence. But that means we got to do our work as well. And so if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Uh-oh, that didn't happen, Brother Ryan. Did you download the narrow or the wide?
Narrow.
No, it won't be there. Never mind. All right, that's all right. So in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "All authority or all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." We established that this morning, didn't we? The power is in God and in His Word. Jesus being given that power, what does He say in verse 19? This is Bible class, right? Brother Mike, what does He tell us in verse 19? "Go ye therefore,
teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost."
All right. So Jesus has the power. We listen to Him, right? Because of what He's done for us, we obey Him. He says, you go and preach. Where do you go and preach? All the world. You realize y'all are accomplishing that in San Angelo, Texas, by the work that you are a part of at Southwest School of Bible Studies? Who in here tonight can get on an airplane and fly to Australia tomorrow and spend the next 5 years of their life working there? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Not everyone can see well. Not everyone can get along well. Not everyone has the ability to do so. But because of what you're doing, you're still getting that accomplished, preaching the word. Now, in verse 20, we have the promise. What is that promise? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, here's a promise. What does he say? I am with you. Brethren, if we can't get excited about that, if that's not an assurance for us, if that's not hope that Jesus is with us, we need to check our spiritual walk with God. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. Our Lord is with us. Why? Because He has the authority and we are obeying what He has commanded us to do. This is a good thing. This is a right thing. And so again, thank you very, very much. When we're done with Bible class, if you have any questions or comments, please come see me and I'll be happy to answer. I believe now we'll be led in prayer and then we can consider ourselves dismissed for the evening.